The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right. Wow. My God.
What the?
Oops. Fraudulent start time, to be sure, but welcome. My apologies. Today was weird to start because, first of all, welcome. Hello to each and every one of you. Welcome to the Impact Power Sports studio for the Eric Zane Show podcast. Today I had a goal so that Darla would not crap in the house. She had an accident yesterday. I was starting the radio show and she was crying and Mom would not let her out. So then she came into me just as I was starting my show, the radio show, and cried to me. I start talking. By the time I'm done talking, she's gone number two in the closet. And she was all embarrassed. So, okay, all right, no big deal. Then she did it like two more times during the day. It seemed like every time I turned around, she was taking a dump in the house and then eating it. That's like her thing. She's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm going to eat this. I don't understand that. That's the most vile thing ever. It's horrible. So today I'm like, there is no fucking way this dog is going to crap in the house over my dead body. So I had her leash on her. And then like every time that she had to like go outside, it was right about the time that I was getting ready to talk on the radio. So you're probably wondering what this bag is here on my shoulder. I'll get to that in a second. Anyway. So I'm like, okay. So I got the leash on her little leash. And then I like keep it right by me so that she can't wander away and go poo. And like the whole show today, the whole radio show, I was like, okay, I've got 5 minutes to get down there, get her to go potty, get up back here and start to talk on the radio. So that's some pressure. You go down there and then, for some reason, this dog is so distracted. Bus picks up the neighbor kid. She's curious. She wants to see that. She won't go poo. She sees a bird. She sees a leaf blowing on the grass. She's not going to go. She likes, you know, it's amazing how much time it takes this dog to go number two. And we did this probably four times throughout from 6 a.m. to 10. That's why I'm late. Because when I got done with the show, I'm like, okay, we got to go. We got to go, dude. We got to go poo. So she still wouldn't do it. And then it just so happens that this is the fucking neighborhood sale. You know, the one where everybody parks in front of my fucking house. This was 2 years ago today that the beginning of the end for the Zaniacs took place. When that fucking psychopath, Boring Dean, showed up at my house again. So there's all these people in the neighborhood. The dog's distracted by them. Dog won't shit. Too many people. I'm like, God damn it. So I have to wander around more. And then finally she goes. So thank God. I'm like, oh God. Now she's resting soundly behind me. Behind me. You can't really see. I can't move too much because O'Neill is at my feet. What's the other one's name? Bruce. He's at my feet. I'm surrounded by dog. Could be worse. One of the things that Dr. Jim said to me was, easy, you got to start to ice that shoulder of yours. He described it as shoulder impingement. And I talked to him yesterday and I go, okay, so it really hurts. It goes numb. I have pins and needles in my hands. And then it comes and goes. It seems to respond to Tylenol. And he goes, yeah, dude, you got to, you're going to have to rehab that. And I go, well, yeah, I know. But I mean, I got to, like I was saying earlier, I got to let this settle down. I mean, it hurts. He goes, yeah, I would get a doctor to take a look at it. I go, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait a couple of days. Okay. I'm going to wait a couple of days and see how it is. And then if it's still a disaster, I'm going to go. So icing it was a big win for me. Like right now I'm icing it. Got this bag of ice on my shoulder underneath this hoodie. And it's heaven how effective this is. How much the pain goes away when you ice the hell out of the thing. So, okay, good. All right, I can live with that. I did make an appointment, though. So it was scheduled for 2:30 today. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the doc. But then I got to like, all right, I think I don't want to go if I don't have to go. I mean, time is money for your old pal EZ. And I've got to get ready for a Big Fraud Thursday. I still have to review the Who Are These Zanes clips. Get a bunch of audio for that. Because you know how it is. We're reviewing my old shows. So I'm living rent-free in my head. Fucking idiots. So I canceled it. And I'll reschedule if after a couple of days I don't have this thing calmed down a little bit. But he says to me, he goes, what did you do to it? I go, nothing. And I woke up and it was like that. I've been diagnosed with age. I've been diagnosed with old. Up north, Justin is here. On the radio, I'm promoting the 87th annual National Trout Festival in Kalkaska, Justin. This is going to be awesome. This is my type of event. Carny rides, fried food, bump and run action, which I'm not really sure what that is. There, and then like the main entertainment is like a pizza eating contest. And I think Saturday night is like a Christian rock concert. So you're going to get some Let's Go Brandon chants. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Nick in beautiful Houston, Texas is here. Justin adds that the Trout Festival is huge. I know a bunch of people that go every year. Rebecca says, gross. Oh, yeah. They're probably going to have Proud to Be an American playing everywhere. That Lee Greenwood song. That would be the place to be to go and get like man on the street reports. Today on the radio, as I indicated, we're doing this Tournament of Rock thing. And before I get to that, Nick writes, my Russian girlfriend made beef tongue for dinner last night. And I nearly barfed it up. Have you tried beef tongue EZ? I can't say that I have. Maybe I have. I think what I can recall, and I don't know if I've had it or I was just told, that is a very lean type of meat. Like, I would guess you would have to slice beef tongue after cooking very thin. Almost like carne asada. That. I'm really surprised that everybody is just saying it sounds horrible. It's just another muscle. Aram asks, is it the texture of liver? I doubt that. Liver is quite easy to chew. Like falls apart. It's almost like eating hay. Ryan writes, is it the texture of penis? Is that how it's going to be today, Brian? For God's sake. Jimmy says, new burger for Bosco's. We'd have to grind that shit up. Chris says, lingua tacos. Delicious. You got to let the Mexicans make it. Yeah, what are you doing letting some fucking mudblood Russian piece of shit make that for you, you asshole? The only thing Russian women are good for is really dirty porno. Everybody knows that. I thought you had, like, kids. What is your personal story? You seem too young to be, like, divorced dad guy. That is the case, he writes. I am divorced. You're divorced dad guy. Jesus Christ. You're only, like, 21 years old, you fucking idiot. How the fuck can you be divorced? Anyway, welcome to you. Kyle Ryan writes, wow, Q100 listeners do not like Uncle Ted. So, Tournament of Rock. I drafted Ted Nugent. Easy pick, right? In this round of Tournament of Rock, I am going against Brian May. My Ted Nugent is going against Brian May. So I was shocked when I saw that Brian May was kicking Ted Nugent's ass. I mean, here we are. Q100 is literally in the shadow of the Fred Bear statue. Like, no shit. Fred Bear invented the compound bow. I shouldn't say invented the compound bow. He is the father of modern archery hunting. His bow-making factory is like a mile from where the radio station, or was about a mile away from the radio station, is. So prominent, they have a statue that's going up in September. You would think that this would be Ted Nugent country. I don't know what's going on. So I was doing my best to try to convince the audience to vote as many times as they could for Ted Nugent. I was making up various bits of lunacy about Brian May to try to get these people with 1,000-yard stares to get fired up for Ted Nugent. Including saying that Brian May was going to rip down the Fred Bear statue by strapping chains to the statue and to his Toyota Prius and yank it down. I said Brian May loves starving children and Democrats, and in hopes that the locals would be agitated and believe. And honestly, a lot of them did believe me. This is a perfect example of just say something and people will believe it. Like the other day, I announced here that Boomer Bob was dead. Maureen was like, oh my God, I can't believe he's dead. I'm like, no, he's not dead, you idiot. Who was it? Amanda reached out to me and she believed it too. Because I said it. If I say it, everybody's going to believe it because I always sound so truthful. I motivated young Jessica to write me. I just wanted to personally tell you what you said about Uncle Ted and Brian May. That was the most baddest ass thing I've heard a DJ say ever. I think I said, if you don't vote for Ted Nugent, I'll fight you in the street. You know all that usual bullshit I always say? I said it on the radio. Well, they're not used to that there. They're not used to someone as reckless as me. And they believe every word I say. So she wrote, and I'm a very long time listener. Way to go. I'm going to keep listening to you. Glad you're on. when I can hear you. Thank you. We need more celebrities because I said that Brian May just tweeted out that he wants to wipe his ass with the American Constitution. She wrote, we don't need any more celebrities who wipe their ass with the Constitution to be praised for it. So she believed me. I didn't have the heart to tell her otherwise. And then when I announced that Brian May was leading in the voting, she wrote, I bet half those people aren't even from Northern Michigan. A bunch of woke losers. That's why they're all probably at home on their ass instead of out working hard like Nugent fans. Now, I want my guy to win. But what I want more than my guy to win is all of this. If there's drama involved, I'm about it. Up north, Justin said, I heard Joe Mama talking about you getting political about him. She said, we don't like to get political here at Q100. I couldn't stop laughing. Well, I wasn't getting political. It's not my fault that Brian May was getting political. Kyle writes, I Googled it. There was a Boomer Bob who died last year while in rehab. Fuck. Rebecca wrote, Ted Nugent is a racist POS. Ryan says, the truth is you have a broadcasting voice. People trust a solid broadcasting voice. You have the voice of 1,000 newsmen delivering pure facts. Jimmy says, what is the Tournament of Rock? Is it real? Yes, you dick. Go to Q100Michigan.com. If you can get your mom to update the AOL subscription, you can go to Q100Michigan.com and vote, Jimmy. Let's see. There's something Ryan wrote. My neighbor's dog got out this morning. The dude was running around the neighborhood, clearly late for work, chasing his dog. Thinking of Big Fraud Zane, I said, might as well help this poor chap. He looked totally unprepared. No leash, no treats. I walk out. Dogs come right to me, hook him up, and this guy is elated. I should be given a purple medal for fraudulent honor by the mayor or something. No, you did the right thing because I've been in that boat, and the dogs will always run away from the owner. Okay, but if new person comes on and out in the scene, dog will always run to that person. So you did a damn good thing. Boy, that's interesting about Joe Mama. Yeah, we don't get political. Well, I wasn't political. I'm surprised I haven't heard anything yet because she might get pissed off at me. Let me check to see if there's anything on the email. Somebody giving me grief. Well, what's interesting is it's cool because I talked to JC, who's the owner, and he's like, oh, it was great. So I think I'm okay. No problem. Kyle, I'm not going to read that. I can't do that. Up north, Justin says she's probably trying to calm down the locals. Every one of you has to vote 1,000 times for Ted Nugent. We need to get... If Ted Nugent is winning and beats Brian May, that's good for something to talk about. Okay, he's polarizing. So you go to Q100 Michigan. Here, let me start from the very, very beginning. Okay. Oh, my God. I'm such an asshole. Home. Okay, there you are at home. And then it says Brian May versus Ted Nugent. You click Ted Nugent. You click I'm not a robot. And then it says, click on cars so we know you're not a robot. Fuck you. Verify, submit. Everyone has to do that. Look at Ted's down to 38%. God damn it. I'm not a robot again. You got to do this every time, unless there's a way you can bypass it. I don't know how to do that. Identify stairs. I'm not a robot. If everyone within the sound of my voice votes for Ted Nugent instead of working today, we will have a chance at Ted winning. And it's not like I even give a shit. I just love the drama. It's fantastic. Okay? We can't have Ted Nugent in Northern Michigan lose to floofy Brian May, for fuck's sake. And his stupid gray Jerry curls. Fuck that guy. All right, I got an email that I want to share with you. It is from Lara in New Jersey. This is pertaining to Hurricane Ashley. Now, I will say this. Lara doesn't speak much, but when she does, usually means something's really bothered her, or she wants to be heard. Isn't that what you hear? Doesn't talk much, but when he does or when she does, best know she's heard. Lara writes, subject line, train wreck. And I think that when I read this, I don't think it's going to land very well for my beloved pal, Hurricane Ashley. I think Ashley, though Lara is looking out for Ashley, I don't think she's going to take this well. Hi, Eric. It's not nice for you to use a mentally unstable kook as a bit. She wrote cook, but I'm pretty sure she meant kook. I mean, context. Mentally unstable kook as a bit. Knock it off, she writes. Love you forever. Sorry, not sorry. Sign, Lara. So I replied with, you know, hand to face and thumbs up. Look it. There it is. You can see it. Ben Glaze writes, Ashley's a saint. And then he wrote, saint of boobs. I agree. I have no problem with Ashley. None. I don't know why anybody would suggest what they're suggesting here right now. Aram says Ashley doesn't let things bother her. She's cool. Then Ashley says, this mentally ill shit is so weird. Such a creative dig. I don't know what it is, but that's just what she wrote. Okay? Now, I said what I wanted to say about it on the Patreon. And I'm pretty sure it's all just, you know, kind of going to fade away here. I've gotten both sides. I've gotten, this is terrible. And I quit listening because of that. Tyler A. Said that. He was like, I just couldn't do it. Badger 7419 writes, that was the best yesterday. Look, at the end of the day, if something that happens on the show allows me to talk and have a discussion and something that's interesting, whether it's making you sad, happy, or enraged, from my perspective, that is a winner. You know how many people I heard from and said that they were happy with my usage of the term twat slime or something like that. When describing that, when I saw her Saturday, all I could smell was alcohol, BO, cigarettes, vag gel, and I think something else. I said, I forgot the joke now. Aram says if you are mentally ill, people should be treating you with compassion. Ashley writes, I'm seriously disturbed that people take anything I say seriously. Ryan writes, Hurricane Ashley doesn't produce flooding rains. She produces twat slime. All right. As you know, if you reach out to me, it's probably going to wind up here on the podcast. Unless you tell me not to speak about it. I don't think anything is bad. It's all good. You know, we all got to get along. Which brings me to the latest article from the Big Fraud News Network. My God. On the Patreon, Big Fraud News Network, CEO, COO, BFD, chief writer, Ryan, reached out to me on the podcast. And he got a couple of quotes for an article he was writing. All right. By the way, this is that logo. That logo needs to be on a shirt. BFNN with my big nose profile on the side. The silhouette. Okay. Excellent. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole thing. It's long. It's a great article. What an expose. Aram wrote, Ryan has to be working for Big Fraud News Network full time by now. Ryan writes, you better buy me a shirt when I send you this logo, you pile of shit. Oh, absolutely. I will buy you that shirt. Now, this is probably 20, 25 paragraphs. A supporter of Hurricane Ashley, this, I'm just picking it up in the middle of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read you three paragraphs. A supporter of Hurricane Ashley, described as a quaint man, chimed in anonymously to Big Fraud News Network, echoing her sentiments and defending her actions as justified. Quote, y'all just don't understand Hurricane Ashley like I do, remarked a Nebraska man known for his colorful commentary on the show. She's like a wild Texas twister, unpredictable and fierce. Sometimes you gotta let her blow through and clear the air. Eric's lucky to have her stirring things up, keeping things interesting, you know. During the chaos of the tirade, local listener Maureen bravely attempted to come to Linda's defense, but her efforts were ultimately futile. When approached for comment, Maureen declined to speak, opting instead to provide us with the contact information for her attorney. It seems the staunchest supporters of the Big Fraud News Network are unwilling to wade into these turbulent waters without legal representation. In a moment of candid speculation, one audience member, clearly feeling the effects of too much microwave popcorn, went so far as to suggest that Hurricane Ashley might have been under the influence during the morning broadcast. However, Big Fraud, known for his lightning-fast wit and robust denial skills, promptly dismissed the accusation, reminding everyone that he's not just the host, but also the judge, jury, and self-proclaimed expert on all things show-related. All right. You need to go to my Reddit page, my subreddit, reddit.com/r/Eric Zane Show. If you want the entire article. I'll link it up here in the chat for you folks when you're sitting around eating your beef tongue, whatever it is you may do in your day. There you go. Cole wrote, did Kenny move to Nebraska? Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. Where was it? Somebody sent me something about Aaron Rodgers. Was it Amanda? Somebody. I think it was Amanda. I'm a little scatterbrained today because of... I didn't really have as much time to prepare as I'd like to. No, that wasn't it. And I know I want to get to this. Aaron. How do you spell Aaron Rodgers? Is it 2 hours? Hold on a second. Give me a second. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go tinkle. I'm going to get this story. And then I'll come back with this. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Cafade. Where am I? I got two controllers. Jimmy writes, in the New World Order of political correctness and woke ideology, this show is a perfect escape. Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that I'm not woke? I am. Yes, please. I'm the woke guy. I want to be woke. Are you telling me that on a show where someone who is as woke as me, and you're suggesting that I'm not woke? Woke means that, you know, you're accepting of people. That's what's wrong with that? Yeah, that's what Rebecca just said. Right when I was saying it, she said it too. Yeah, that's a good thing. Idiots have taken that word and made it... That's a way of suggesting, because they're stupid, that, you know, you're a wimp, or you hate America, or you traffic kids, or other nonsense like that. They'll take that and try to paint that in a negative light. So you can't say that I'm not woke. I am woke. Ryan wrote, this show is not woke. It has Donald Trump on it already. Well, I know that. Well, I can have people think that I like Trump. I don't like Trump. He comes on the show because it's good to have Trump on the show. Look, you can say what you want about Trump, but he is absolutely right that when it comes to audience, he draws. He's a winner. He is a ratings juggernaut. You know, in a perfect world, I would have Trump next to me on the show and O.J. Simpson, if he was alive today, and anyone else that is like that, you know, big draw, big name. You want to be Hitler. If I could do a show where it was me and Trump and O.J. Simpson, Adolf Hitler is on the drops, an occasional commentary, and Amanda. That, to me, can you imagine that show? And if Amanda got pissed off at Hitler, the fireworks that would ensue on that show, God damn. Aaron Rodgers would have to be on that show because, okay, I hate Aaron Rodgers. But you got to look at dollars and cents. It's all about what brings people in. Like, for example, Aaron Rodgers is in the news right now because of a comment he made like months ago. And it went under the radar. Nobody caught it because it was on a podcast that at the time nobody listens to. But it hit the ears of the right person, and now it's become a story. I love this. This is the equivalent of me saying something ridiculous. The only difference is nobody knows who the fuck I am. If Aaron Rodgers says it and people catch on to it, now that's a story. So Rodgers was on a show where, again, I have to mention the show, and I will gladly because they had Aaron Rodgers on. And now this is great news for whoever is hosting this show. An appearance on the Look Into It with Eddie Bravo podcast in March. Aaron Rodgers suggested that AIDS was engineered by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases with help from the federal government. That's right. Pardon me, I got to put this ice back on. Oh, God. You know, you got to put it on for a period of time, and then you got to let the, you got to take it off. Rodgers also said this was the blueprint for the COVID-19 pandemic. So he's like, yeah, whenever you're one of these people like Aaron Rodgers, you got to throw in the word research. And I guarantee you at some point in this, he says, yeah, you know, you got to go out and do research. You got to go out and do research. Now to a fucking moron like Aaron Rodgers, research defined by someone like that is echo chamber. Go to sources that you go to for your nonsense, and whatever they write, that's, and you absorb it, that's research. Now, to most people that are actually in the scientific community, I'm speaking out of school here, but I would guess that doing research would be like perhaps experimenting, trials to see the effectiveness of things, appropriate studies done, testing. That's research. Not just looking at any website and reading it. That's not defined as research. That's fucking reading and plagiarizing, asshole. Anybody who actually does research for a living, like people in the scientific community, medicine, whatever, who actually do research, to them, they're like, God damn it. These right-wing fuckfaces have stolen yet another word. They stole woke. We just talked about that. And they stole research. If you're around anybody who looks like they have no ability to actually do research and they use the word research, get the fuck out of there. You don't want to be talking to that asshole. So, yeah, AIDS was invented by the government. He also said that they did this to get ready for COVID. Yeah, this is what they did to plan for COVID. That's what he said. With both health crises being handled by Anthony Fauci. God, I almost didn't say his name. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Wow, that's a lot. Within just 3-4 lines of this article, AIDS was invented. They did it to get ready for COVID, and Anthony Fauci did the whole thing, and the government was involved. Now the clip is making the rounds on social media. Been viewed over 5.1 million times. That is good. That is good for whoever does this show. I already forgot.
The blueprint.
I want to listen to it. By the way, he is on my top list of people I hate right now. But if I had an opportunity to do a show with him, God damn it. Oh, license to print money. People love him. When I say love him, they love to watch him and hear what he says, and then it draws. Remember what I said to you a long time ago? It doesn't matter what emotion gets pulled out as long as an emotion gets pulled out. Doesn't matter. Okay? Aaron Rodgers.
The blueprint, the game plan was made in the 80s. Create a pandemic, you know, with a virus that's going wild, right?
Yeah.
He was given, Fauci was given like over $350 million to research this, to come up with drugs, new or repurposed, to handle the AIDS pandemic.
Okay. Okay. That, I probably believe you on that one.
And all they came up with was AZT.
Oh, those assholes.
And if you do any, even a smidge of research, and I know.
Oh, there it is. You got to go do research, guys.
No, I'm not a, you know, epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm
right.
Not.
You're Aaron Rodgers.
Immunologist, whatever the fuck. I can read, though.
He's saying what I just said he was going to say. He's reading things from places that it's an echo chamber. Okay?
So I'm not a doctor. I'm not an immunologist, whatever the fuck. I can read, though. Right. And I can learn and look things up just like any normal person. You know, I can do my own research. So vilified, you know, yeah. To even question authority. But that was the game plan back then.
Oh, okay.
Create an environment where only one thing works. Mm-hmm. Back then, AZT. Now, remdesivir until we get a vaccine.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Anthony Fauci had stake in the Moderna vaccine. Mm-hmm. And we know Pfizer is one of the most criminally corrupt organizations ever. The fine they paid was the biggest in the history of the DOJ in 2009.
Like, okay, OJ's, yep.
What are we talking about? We're going to put our full trust in science that can't be questioned.
Wow. So that's some real flat earther stuff right there. In fact, flat earthers are taking a listen to, Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers there. And they're like, God damn it, man. That fucker's out there. Maze and Blue 20 Maze underscore and underscore Blue 27 writes, this is Robert F. Kennedy's running mate. Is that for sure? Let's hope so. Chris says, Aaron, you're a fucking douche. It's taken way too many hits to the cranium and believes Facebook news. I love it. I hope this continues. I don't want to live in a world where he's quiet. Let's see. A lot of typical comments. We don't need to get into that. But this is the guy, don't forget, who it surfaced not long ago that he was floating the idea that Sandy Hook, that same thing that, what's the guy's name? Alex Jones did. You know, and got in big trouble for, and he has to pay a ton of money. He's done all that shit, too. About, oh, my God, yes, Andy Hook. Those were character actors. And it was something that was said quite some time ago that it's now coming back to be in the news. But he's kind of untouchable. And I think the reason why he's untouchable is because it's not known how effective he is at playing quarterback right now. The only thing that's keeping him from being cast out, all right, is that if he still has the ability to play. Now, let's just say he didn't get injured last year and had a great year. This would continue. If he had a terrible year last year and wasn't injured, well, you know, this is another thing that is a knock on him, might cause him, because there's a lot of baggage. You bring a lot of baggage when you bring Aaron Rodgers. If he does great this year, they'll let it slide. They'll look past it. If he does terribly, that's it. You know, they're just waiting for a reason to get rid of this PR nightmare. Or maybe not. Maybe he brings enough attention that it's interesting. I know that it would just be weird if that were my team, you know, The Lions are probably are like, God damn it, please, none of you, please don't become like that. And what's interesting is all this shit, Sandy Hook was fake, HIV, this shit you just heard, all the stupid shit he said, that's no problem to people. But fucking Kaepernick takes a knee and he never plays football ever again. There's something wrong with that. Okay? And now Kaepernick's like 65 years old. He can't do shit. My God. All right. For those who are enjoying the show on Facebook, X, and YouTube. Actually, there are none because I forgot to toggle it. No big deal. Anyway. Nevertheless, the open and live stream of today's show brought to you by Berlin Raceway. I've got 4 free tickets for Saturday's races, the Icebreaker. Races start at 4 p.m. I think the diehards go because, you know, it's chilly out. You're outside, for fuck's sake. But I've got a 4-pack of tickets to give away on Facebook. Just like that status. Thank you to Berlin Raceway. Tickets for the race are just $10 for this weekend when you buy online. 18 at the gate. Parking free. 12 by 18 coolers are good. No glass. No alcohol. You can buy your alcohol there, and it's priced affordably. It's not like going to Van Andel. $16 for a beer, for God's sake. And 15 and under get in free. Berlin Raceway, online at berlinraceway.com. That's berlinraceway.com if you want tickets. Do you remember, Nick, in the arena SRX, where all the big-time drivers were there for like an all-star event at Berlin Raceway, and they were coming back this year? They folded. SRX went belly up. I just found out about that the other day when I was talking to my friends over at the racetrack. That's kind of a bummer. All right. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV, 616-532-6600. That's 616-532-6600. It'll keep your car running on the road appropriately, whether it's an EV, hybrid, or plain old-fashioned combustion motor. Irvine's can help. ERVines.com. That's ERVines.com. Ugh. Love them so much. Yeah, great place to get your car fixed right in the middle of Grand Rapids. Longtime sponsor of the show, Irvines. Thank you. Green Medicine Shop. We are a day away from the 419-420 party. I'm going to go over more specifics about what they're doing there with at Green Medicine Shop. The idea that you can get a one-day special, including pre-rolls, a pre-roll bundle. You get 30 pre-rolls for $60. Now, I don't buy cannabis, but is $2 a joint, is that like ridiculously cheap? I think it is, isn't it? That's a lot of pot. 40% off of our newest flower strain at the Green Medicine Shop, released for 420. $10 concentrates, and many of the pre-rolls will be on special as well. You can get a mystery box filled with a fun surprise selection of pre-rolls. What that means is it's $50 worth of pot in the mystery box, and it's $24.20 to purchase it. It's a big savings. When you make a $25 purchase, you get a free gift bag. And in the gift bag will be edibles and pre-rolls, more stuff to get you stoned, swag, and paraphernalia. Prize wheel for anyone who spends $100 or more, with fabulous cannabis and paraphernalia prizes to win. It's a 70s themed disco party with a selfie station, disco balls, fog machine, and free sex. I'm just kidding. I made that last part up. This event is Friday and Saturday. Friday, the vendors will be there from noon to 3, giving out free pot. Saturday, they'll be there from 2 to 5 with more free pot. My God. Green Medicine Shop is in Greenville, Michigan. This is a medical dispensary. If you don't have your med card, you can't take advantage of any of this. You got to go to thegreenmedicineshop.com to get the card. It'll take you 15 minutes, cost you $90. But when you buy it there, you get a $100 in-store credit. In Michigan, you cannot smoke cannabis under 21 years old or buy it unless if you have a med card. So 18 to 21, get your med card and then take advantage of all this shit I just talked about. TheGreenMedicineShop.com. How about that? I mean, if I smoked pot, I'd fucking be waiting in the parking lot for them to open. They're open at 10 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay, and that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap. Okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/video lock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/video lock. eufyofficial.com/video lock.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jimmy says, remember the term stems and seeds? Now they don't want you to have the seeds. Beautiful plan. Nick writes, the SRX was cool, but it felt a little bit like pro wrestling. I find the regular races more exciting. I love that. Rob says, Stevie says that her husband, Rob, indicates that 30 pre-rolls for $60 is super cheap. Maize and Blue says the Lions are unveiling their new uniforms tonight. That's going to be awesome. I hope they really fuck it up. Like, make them, like, pink and green. And change the logo and the team name. Just do something that would happen with the Lions. Just completely derail everything. And then, like, move the team. What a story. Yeah, not only new colors, new team name, new ownership, and we're moving the team to Honolulu. Anchorage. Fuck you. I think people would die if they did that. They would actually, like, want to murder people within the organization. All right. I want to get into a little bit about this story. Caitlin Clark, the ladies basketball player. It seems like nowadays you can't even just be great without the world white knighting you and coming in and trying to make a story when there is no story. Caitlin Clark finished up her college career. She got drafted number one in the WNBA. And when you get drafted, they have certain things that in place that, like, a rookie can only make so much money. I think it's like that in a lot of sports. There's some creative ways to get the top draft pick more money, like signing bonuses and things like that. But in the WNBA, a league that is not profitable, they don't. So her salary year one is like $76,000. And then I guess she signed a 3 or 4 year contract. And on the fourth year, it's going to be like $95,000 for her to play basketball. And I'll tell you right now that to me, that sounds low. However, I understand because, you know, the league is, like I said, not profitable yet. And working towards that, so they can only pay the players so much. And, you know, there's like a bargaining agreement, a collective bargaining agreement between, you know what, I'm talking out of my ass because I don't know if there's a union representing these women. So I can't speak to that, but that's the way it is. And though that sounds like not that much money, I think the one argument that cannot be made here is, well, yeah, but if you compare that to the men, this isn't fair because guys who are in the NBA, professional basketball, like a person drafted number one overall, they would make a lot more money. And people are like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And it's like, no, it is. It is. It is absolutely fair. In fact, if you were to look at the amount of money that the average NBA player or even the number one pick that would make compared to the money that the league makes, the percentage is actually lower than what the lady players make compared to what the league brings in. It's relative to the amount of money that comes into the league. So that's very important. In fact, that's the most important thing. But nobody sees it that way. They jump to, well, it's basketball and she's the best, so she should clearly make the exact amount of the best player coming out of college going into the pros. That is a man. It's just not like that. You know, and then the comparisons are being made. Well, in soccer, the women's game, you know, they're getting paid more. And I don't know if they're getting paid the same amount as the men. And it's like, well, female soccer, lady soccer is much more profitable than men's soccer. That's actually a sport where it makes sense. Women should be paid more based on the amount of money that the women's national team is a hell of a lot of a bigger deal than the men's national team in the U.S. Like, people actually give a shit about the women's national soccer team. No one cares about the men's team because they suck every year. Now, I don't think any of the soccer players should be paid because it's a shit game, frankly. But that's just me. So I don't understand this about Caitlin Clark. It doesn't add up to me, and it's not about what's fair and what's not. It's about what's equitable. And of course, Joe Biden weighs in, calls for female athletes to, quote, get paid what they deserve. She is. As Caitlin Clark's WNBA salary sparks debate. Now, that's just what she makes from the league. Caitlin Clark, for years, has been making millions of dollars in name, image, likeness money as a college athlete because her name has value. And most of the time now, top athletes earn more when it comes to their cashing in on their name than actually what they earn with the league. You look at that fucking baseball player, the Japanese dude. What's his name? High Karate or some shit for the Dodgers. The gambling guy is about to get banned. He makes so much more in all of his endorsements. So I'm sick and tired of people fucking losing their shit about Caitlin Clark and Biden coming out and saying, yeah, women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all. Right now, we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. That's such shit for him to spread that type of gossip. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. That is an easy thing to jump onto trying to get votes, but take the information I just gave you and understand that the Women's Basketball League doesn't make the same amount of money that the Men's Basketball League earns. She's paid according to relative to what the league makes. And in terms of percentages, like I indicated earlier, her pay compared to the relative amount of money that comes into the league overall, she's paid accordingly. Even less. It's a less percentage for men. So give me a fucking break. The 2023 WNBA season was the most watched regular season in 21 years. It's going up. And in fact, there will be a time very soon that they renegotiate their television rights. When that money comes in, you'll start to see this pick up. But that whole thing is stupid. My God. Give me a break. All right. Ryan says, I loved that Biden sounded like a subdued Bill Simonson. Linda wrote, my son is a Caitlin Clark groupie, says he's going to watch the WNBA. And then she wrote, please. Well, you don't like women's basketball. I like the women's game a lot. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, but it's interesting to me. In fact, I'm more interested in women's basketball than I am the NBA. I watched a few of the college games this year during the tournament, and I watched a few more this year than I did the previous year. I was interested in a few of those matchups. Yeah, but the NBA, I'm not really about it. I'm more interested in the G League because I work for them. Chris says WNBA insider Eric Zane. Linda said Caitlin Clark roasted, in quotes, Michael Che on SNL this week for comments he's made about women's sports. Che is 100% correct. Yeah, Linda is not a fan of Caitlin Clark and women's basketball. Jimmy wrote, I'm sure Biden wakes up and hopes women are making enough money. Nick said, the arena workers are making more than the players, LOL. Yeah, I don't know what Linda's problem is. She's pretty negative lately. Kind of a, I don't know, super aggressive. She's really aggressive towards Caitlin Clark, and I can't figure out why. I'd hate to get on her bad side, frankly. You know, I mean, she just recently turned on Stu McAllister, and I did not see that coming. All I would have to do to get Linda on my bad side is to yell at the dogs. Ryan wrote, I wouldn't fuck with Linda. No, I think she'd kick our ass. She's got old man strength. You know, she went to school with Diana. I don't remember the dynamic because I forget most things. Kenny says, but you have yelled at the dogs before. Not like Stu, come on. You cannot say that me going, Darla, no, is the same as Stu screaming at the poor thing. By the way, quit fucking stirring up trouble. You're a goddamn troublemaker. You realize that, don't you? This is the text that Kenny sent to Ashley yesterday. This is what he wrote. I think Eric is super pissed at you, though. Why would you do that? What the fuck? I wasn't super pissed at anybody. Hey, I think Eric is super pissed at you with wide open eyes. Don't do that. Leave her alone. The fuck are you doing? You are a troublemaker. That's what you are. I'm going to call you Kenny Trouble. Jesus. Let her be. She can figure shit out on her own. She's a big girl. We don't need you stoking the fire and stirring the pot. You dumbass. Kenny Trouble, Kenny. Kenny Trouble. That's not working for me. Usually it's obscenity with Kenny's name. Oh, great. Now I'm going to get another email from Laura saying, yeah, don't make fun of the mentally retarded. Jesus. All right. Where the fuck was I? Hold on a second. I got to send a text. There's a story bubbling under as I speak. Oh my God. Can I call you on the podcast? ? There's some drama unfolding as we speak. Okay. No, I was told no, I cannot. You'll find out later. Anyway, where was I? What were we talking about? I don't even remember. It's one of those. It feels like a Friday. I got to get a hold of Kyle here from a company that used to market themselves on the podcast. He's probably like, where were you, EZ? God damn it. You're supposed to call me. You haven't called me yet. Well, hello, Eric Zane.
Eric Zane, dude.
Hey, hello, Eric Zane.
I know, as I was answering the phone, I was like, I gotta say it like a little different or something.
Yeah, where are you today? Are you at the shop?
I'm at the shop, baby, just, doing things that you do at the shop.
Whatever happened to that lady that would show up there and we thought she was doing something like selling her body or selling drugs?
Oh, you know what? She still shows up and I'm walking around. I might as well go walk out there and see if she's out there. Seriously, it's like, it's wild to even discuss because I try to catch her. I try to like get out there and like you start walking towards her and she just goes. So like, I don't really know what to do.
Okay. So nothing. So, I mean, it was like a year or two ago that all started.
It's continuous. Yeah, she's not out there.
And we still
she's out there.
Oh my God, we still don't know what the fuck she's doing.
We don't know what she's doing, and I'm damn curious. And like, so that's why I keep trying to figure it out for like my own personal sanity, and I still can't figure it out.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers said that the government made AIDS and to get us ready for COVID, and it's all, and Anthony Fauci did it himself.
Well, shit, dude. Aaron Rodgers, baby. I mean, the guy's been hitting his head for several years now in a row. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. I think that that's exactly what it is.
I mean, you know, I guess you never really know, but like that one sounds a little wild even to me, and I'm a conspiracy guy to some degree.
Are you a flat earther?
Nope. I'm not a flat earther, that's for sure. But I do also acknowledge that I've never been to space, so I've never seen the Earth. But like, I'm also like pretty sure that a globe does make sense. You know what I mean? But hey.
Yeah, you see, you can't even say that. You have to just say, fuck no, flat earthers are crazy. That's all that's the only thing you can possibly say.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't know. You see, I'm not even going to get into it because I don't believe, like, I don't consider myself a flat earther. So then, like, if I say, like, a flat earther argument that I've heard, then, like, it's, if you don't believe in something but you're saying it, it's, like, hard to say. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
That's fair.
The Lions are going to unveil new uniforms today.
Dude, I think there's some crazy stuff going on too, and I think there's a fake out going on right now. I'll tell you about it because I've been reading about it in my Lions groups, right? So there was like some controversy that like some online store that I guess that like partners with the NFL like reveal like leaked a link or something. So like people, there's basically these jerseys up online, or they were for like a little bit, that basically looked like the 90s jerseys of the Lions. And everybody was like, oh, these are it. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I'm thinking it's a fake out, dude. I feel like if they were going to change jerseys, they wouldn't just choose the 90s jerseys. I feel like they'd have to at least be like a little different than the 90s jerseys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and you know, what's interesting about this is if you think about it, how come in like 1980 or whenever, there was no one had the bright idea to come up with alternate jerseys and more opportunities for fans to buy shit? You know what I mean? Because that's the only reason why they're doing this. It isn't because, I mean, it's marketing. It's another way for fans to spend all their fucking money on this shit. How come back then, you know, if you were to watch an NFL game, there's no advertising anywhere on the field. Hardly. Not now. And just things like this. People finally figured out that us gullible fans will do just about anything to have a part of the team.
Dude, straight up, that's like one of my theories about like, well, actually just human nature in general. Like if you create something, eventually, well, at least in America, I guess I don't know about the world, but if you create something, eventually somebody will come to you and be like, I think we can make money off of this. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, exactly.
So yeah, it's like, you know, back in the NFL, you know, back in the old days, like, all right, I will sell the fucking tickets, but like, that's it. That's the thing. That's the business. And then like someone came along, it's like, no way, dude, we can make fucking tons of money out of these jerseys. You know what I mean? It's like wild.
I'd like to one day somehow try to quantify how much money has been spent because of the internet. You know, like online purchases and whatever.
Oh, for sure.
Whatever it may be, as long as it's through the internet, that dollar amount would be unbelievable. And considering the fact that we've only been buying shit online for, you know, however many decades it's been, it hasn't been that long.
Then you're going to start a culture war with like super, super old people that are like, I used to order out of the fucking Sears catalog. And then, like, you know, but it's different, you know, and they're going to be like, no, it's the fucking same thing. So you're going to start a culture war, Eric Zane.
Have you been to a mall recently?
No, dude, you're not going to catch me in a fucking mall, dude.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, who the fuck would want to go to a mall, even if you could shop online or not? But everything's closing up shop. You could fucking own the whole mall. I mean, it's everything's dying on the vine. Nobody gives a shit anymore.
I know. And partially my hatred for the mall comes from when I worked at JCPenney at the Granville Mall for like 6 years. And like, that was like really where my hatred for mankind like started, you know?
Wow.
And so when I go to the mall, I'm like sucked back into a time capsule of like when I worked there. And I'm like, no, fuck that.
Jesus Christ. That's funny because when I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee, I was producing a radio show and then I got a part-time job at JCPenney.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
we're both former JCPenney members, dude.
I lasted one day. One day.
What did you do? Ask some lady about her labias or something and get kicked the fuck out?
No, it was, I was a bunch of like new ties came in, you know, for like a men's clothing necktie. They go, yeah, we want you to take all these ties. And you have to, and I had to like, I don't know, like put them on the tie rack or something really shitty and stupid. And I got like halfway through it. And then I'm on the floor of the store wearing my shorts, my white short sleeve shirt, my black tie and my slacks. And then I just got up and left. And I never returned. I worked probably maybe 2/3 of a night. And then I said, this is not for me. Fuck this shit. I can't do it.
See, okay, this is kind of funny, actually, only because I worked there for 6 years. So what you're saying is they hired you to do the job, and you're like, nah, dude, this is not right. Dude. I'm not going to do the job, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I was...
I'm just imagining, like, based on, like, what I know about you, like, your manager being like, yeah, put these fucking ties on the rack, and then, like, he walks away, and you're like,
yeah,
put ties on a rack? What the fuck's he talking about? Yeah,
I couldn't do it. I said I would rather sell my children for money than do this. It's that bad.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, you saved yourself a lot of fucking trouble, that's for sure. Because number one, by the time I got done working there, I made so little amount of money, even at those 6 years had passed, that it was like ridiculous. So you would have saved yourself like the turmoil of that. But also, like, yes, the customers are dumb, but I mean, when you're at JCPenney, basically you and I, we didn't know it at the time, but we were like bottom of the barrel citizens of the United States of America, because they'll fucking hire anybody, dude.
Yeah.
So like, you just meet people that you're like, wow, dude, I'm surprised you got here today. You know what I mean?
That's ridiculous. You know what the minimum wage was when I started working?
Oh, let's see here. It's got to be like 250.
Yeah, it was 285 an hour.
Oh man, yeah, and that's exactly what you were getting paid too.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Can you imagine for like 8 hours you work and you make like $20?
Oh, dude, yeah, that's so fucking wild, dude. Cause yeah, now, like, nowadays, if somebody wants to work for me, like, if they'll call me up and they'll be like, I'm like, ah, okay, whatever. And then they'll be like, hey, what's the pay? And I'm like, well, you know, we could talk about it in the interview. They're like, well, if it's less than $25 an hour, I'm not even coming. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That, give me a break. Yeah, they got their expectations way too high. Jesus Christ.
That's crazy. 285, baby. The glory years.
Yep. And then I remember right after I started, it went up to 335. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm fucking rich. I'm going to get so much pussy.
That's classic right there, too. Yeah, trust me. When you work at JCPenney, you do not get pussy. This does not happen. Somehow the females just know that you work there. And like, they can just sense it.
I used to work at this drugstore, and I had to stock all of it. It was a drugstore. But kind of like a grocery store too. And I had a stock in the aisle where they have all the like laundry detergent and fabric softener and dish detergent. And I didn't know this, but breathing that shit all day long, it like fucks you up. Like if you're in that aisle, if you're in that aisle for a little too long, it kind of like you don't feel right. And you just feel like you're something wrong. Well, dude, I'm like getting bloody noses and shit when I get home, and my mom's calling my boss saying, "Oh, I'm not gonna let him. I'm 14 years old, 15 years old. I'm not gonna let him work there. If he, like, Ma, shut up. I'm getting pussy."
And so we're talking. Let's see. I can't remember how old you are, but this is like what, the 80s you're talking about?
Yeah, 84, 85.
Yeah, oh man, that's so odd. Because yeah, there's, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, which I thought was like super padded and protected compared to past generations, but right. Like even the 90s compared to now is the Wild West. But yeah, dude, in the 80s, I can just imagine your boss, just you'd be like, hey, like getting bloody noses, dude. Like, does he think it's all this stuff? He's like, no, you're just a pussy.
Yeah, yeah. So is that the shortest? What's the shortest amount of time you worked at a gig?
Oh shit, Eric Zay, let me think about this, because I'm not really a quitter, dude. So I've only had a handful of jobs. So I worked at, let's think about this, Eric Zay. I worked at, my first job was at JCPenney, and that's because my mom worked there, so she got me in. So I worked there from when I was like 16 to when I was 22, I think. Then I became a valet guy at the Amway Hotel downtown.
Okay.
So I did that for a couple years. Then I just started working at Two Men and a Truck. Then I worked at the corporate office of Two Men and a Truck, and now I'm here. See, I've only had like five jobs. Dude.
When you were a valet, did you ever have a chick try to like take you home?
Oh, dude, it was wild. It was wild there, actually, because they'd have like a lot of parties of like up in like the whatever part of, what was it? Cygnus. That's what it used to be called. I don't know what it's called. So you get like every once in a while they'd have like these parties, and I don't know what the parties were for, but what I assume it was for is middle-aged people who are unhappy in their marriages.
Yeah.
Because like these drunk ladies would come out like waiting for their car or whatever, and like their husbands are right there, and they'd be like touching you and like getting all up. And I'm like, this is wild, dude. You know what I mean?
You get that. Whenever you get one of those group of 41-year-old mom squatters together, and they've had a little wine, and you know, their husbands are cheating on all of them, and they know it, and they don't give a shit. So they're like, oh yeah, let's try to see some cock. That's what they do.
Oh man, you know what's actually funny? I would say I actually got hit on by more ladies when I was a mover, because you know, you're like spending like a couple hours with them and like doing, you're all sweaty and
right,
shit, and,
right,
you know, pheromones and stuff. But when I was a valet guy, actually, it was weird, right? So there's like the valet, then there's like the restaurants, and then there's like the hotel staff. There's like a bunch of like different arms, I guess you'd say, of the business. But like you would like all eat like in the same place, like underneath the hotel. So like you start fraternizing with all these different people.
Okay.
So like those people would want you. So like you'd be like, but like you all work there. So then like, you know, everyone's got like a certain image, because like some people are banging on all the chicks. Some of the chicks hate all the dudes. So it was wild. But I actually had, this is the weirdest thing that even when I think back to it today, it doesn't make any fucking sense to me. So there was this girl that worked there who was young, like my age roughly, like younger 20s. And like she's like had braces too, but like was like a good looking chick, you know, and she was married, but like would always like be like hitting on me and coming out into the motor lobby and just talking with me and stuff. Uh-huh. And like all the other guys would be like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, dude. You know? But they're like, that chick's married. I'm like, dude, I'm not even doing nothing. I'm just like standing here like where I have to stand at my job. And I'm just going to answer, you know? But yeah, she would like come out and just like talk to me for like a half an hour and then just like leave. Yeah. And I'm like,
I had that happen. I had that happen too with limo work. You know, what starts out is like, especially if you have a group of chicks that are doing like a bachelor party or something like that. And after about two, three hours of drinking, they're just flirty and silly, and the key is keep your defenses up. Okay.
Oh, for sure.
You got to keep it's okay that they're messing around and being a dumbass, but it's once they start to get approach you that way, if you keep your defenses up, they'll keep hammering you, but you can't let your defense down and do anything to like further that, because they will let you stick your fingers in them, and then you're in trouble. So you don't want to do that. So unless if you're a single dude, but a guy like me, I'm married and I'm just kind of like having to tolerate it, and they know that, so they're just fucking with me. They're fucking with me because they know. Well, they're rolling the dice, but they're like, ooh, win-win. Either he lets us fuck with him or he fucks us. Yeah. So that's how I handle that. I just kind of like they would figure out that I'm not interested, but then they can get away with even more. They're goddamn psychopaths is what they are.
Dude, I had one time when I was a mover, and it's funny, what if by chance, this lady's one of your listeners, but she moved to a different state. I don't really know. I couldn't tell you anything about this lady, but anyways, we had to go there the day before and pack her up, cause she's just a lady with a kid, a young kid. And so we went there to pack her up, and me and this other guy. And, so she's we got there and we were talking, and she's being all flirty. She's like, yeah, you know, I already sent my kid down to, I don't know, Indiana or Iowa or some to cause that's where her parents live. So she was moving closer to them and blah, blah, blah. And I already sent him down blah, blah, blah. And she's saying all this weird stuff. And then she had a little kid's drum set for the kid. And I was oh man, I'm about to sit down and, you know, bang out some tunes. And she was, I'd like to see that, you know, all this crazy stuff. Then we realized at the end that we were packing everything up for her that we forgot. We did not pack up two bottles of wine, right? And I was oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. I'll go grab another box and pack this up. She's like, no, you know, you can just leave. He's like, I'm probably just going to drink that tonight. You know? And I'm oh, wow. She was yeah, two bottles is a lot for one person. And so anyways, all this stuff happened for hours, right? And then we got in the truck to leave. And I was you think that lady wanted to bone me? And the guy's oh, for sure. Dude.
Yeah. I get that with I'm looking at all these women in front of me right now, Stevie and Sarah, and all these women want to have sex with me. That's why they're here.
Baby.
They're hoping that I say, hey, now it's time to have sex. And I just keep stringing these local tramps along. That's what's going on.
That's for a radio personality. That's the life, dude.
Of course, you know. All right. Well, that's it. Anything good going on today or this weekend that we need to know about that you're fired up about? What are you going on, trip, staying home?
I'm just waiting for those fucking. The only thing I'm worried about is the Lions jerseys. I'm just ready to see. I've been thinking about it for 3 days. I'm like, come on, dude. I just can't wait to figure it out, dude. So that's really all I'm thinking about. Little JMO's sick right now. He caught one of those little kid bugs. We send his ass to preschool. I mentioned a bunch of times.
Okay.
He was totally good on Tuesday when we sent him. And then Tuesday night, he was sick. And I'm like, dude, fuck those kids, dude. I was like, I don't know if that can happen that fast in the body, but I'm blaming it on those kids, dude. Yep.
Hang in there. All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Love you guys. And deuces.
Yeah, see ya. There you go. That's Kyle from Dumpster Divers. Joe Martinez says, I doubt that very much about you and the ladies. Your pecker doesn't even work. No, it works. It works. Well, I take it back. Okay. So it doesn't work exactly like it used to. But it's still I can still perform. It's just that there's no big culmination. And some women, that's a big part of the process, you know? And that's a horrible thing to even. I'm not glad you brought that up, because you know I'm never going to be able to do that again. So thanks for bringing that up again, you asshole. Anyway, always a good time talking to Kyle. He brings out the best in everybody. Joe writes, they like the eruption. Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think most women actually do. That they're like, oh, this is what we came here for. You know? It's very satisfying to them, knowing that they got the guy all worked up so that he's you know, that type of deal. It's like a point of pride. I guess. Maybe not. Stevie says, ooh, you know it's messy. Okay. Rob, does he know that you're talking about this? All right. Wow, that was incredible. Thank you to Frank Fuss. Him and his muscle-bound body. From My Policy Shop Insurance. If you want to get started on getting health care through the marketplace, don't do it on your own. You have an expert that can help you. It is Frank Fuss. Buyinsurancehere.com is his website. That's buyinsurancehere.com. It can help you with insurance in the marketplace. It can help you with, I'm going to take this ice out. I think I've pretty much made this water now, this ice. God, it's really effective, though. Anyway, Frank Fuss, buyinsurancehere.com. So if you're in between jobs, maybe you work on your own, work for yourself. Maybe your employer does not offer insurance. Frank can help you. No charge for his services. Everything is free. He gets paid by the insurance companies. He also works with Medicare and can help you get started with that and getting your Social Security started for you or someone you know or love. Reach out via the website buyinsurancehere.com. And he can get you into any type of insurance, including life insurance. All right. Thank you to Frank. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage can help you at 231-332-6505 from anywhere in the U.S. Reach out to Mario. If you're ready to get started on getting a mortgage, 231-332-6505. Whether you're getting money out of your home that you're living in right now or you're getting started on a new mortgage, call Mario at 231-332-6505 and mention me. You can buy products on my vouch store. You can buy toothbrushes. You can buy coffee. You can buy pet supplies. You can buy Campcraft cocktails. You can buy massage guns, impact massage guns, all on my vouch store. Merging content creators with small business. Vouch.store/Eric Zane. That's vouch.store/Eric Zane. My friends at Impact Power Sports, sponsoring my studio and bringing you, bringing you the studio and sponsoring the show. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. Motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, e-bikes, zero-turn radius, zero-turn mowers, Yamaha golf carts, all at Impact Power Sports, ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. You want a go-kart? Get a damn go-kart. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. They're in Rockford, Michigan, along 14 Mile Road. Love those folks over at Impact Power Sports. And last but not least, that legend, Joe Martinez, A&E Heating and Cooling. My God, get started on that AC tune-up. Okay. A&E Heating and Cooling, 616-516-8579. If you get your AC tuned up, that means it's running at peak efficiency. It's using the least amount of energy to cool your home. It's working for the amount of time that is needed to do that and not too long, because if it works for too long, well, that means that it's going to put wear and tear on your AC unit. And that can be, you know, a costly repair over time. Uses a little bit more life. So there you go. My good friends over at A&E Heating and Cooling. Maureen writes, Frank Fuss told me his trainer got 4 new clients from those pool pics he posted. My God. I should reach out to that guy. I think that's a good idea. Frank Fuss. I mean, he's like jacked. He's like a year or two younger than me. And he has got the body of like a 25-year-old man. If Maureen met him in person, she might have been a little gushy. You know, a little puffy. Ryan wrote, Jesus, big fraud. You're falling apart. It's amazing because you're such a sexy beast. Look at that hair. Yeah, Ryan wants me. Ryan wants to be in my butt. There's no question about that. Okay. So this is the text I just got. It says, and it's from Ashley, today at 11:09 a.m. I was distracted. I didn't let on that I was distracted, but that's because I'm such a professional. She wrote, I just got fired over this. I'm like, what? And I wrote, oh my God, can I call you on the podcast? She said, no. And I said, okay. Then she wrote, now I am mentally ill and will be mentally ill for sure. Thanks, Linda. I don't know if Linda has anything to do with it. And then she said, fuck it. You can call me. It's all for the plot. Well, I'm sorry, but I got to know what the fuck is going on here. Hey, this is Eric Zane on the Eric Zane Show podcast.
How's it going?
It's going okay. Did you really get fired?
Sure thing.
Over, can you explain what happened?
They told you. They all saw it.
I'm sorry?
They saw it.
They saw you. What?
The Facebook stuff and the whatever. Somebody clearly listens to you there.
Saw the Facebook stuff.
Do you know why I was so angry when you kept saying my last name? You're like, everybody knows you. I'm like, no, they don't know I'm that Ashley.
Okay, so what did they say when they fired you? Did they say you were fired because of Eric Zane?
I mean, legally, they said little.
So you told me that you got fired over this.
I did get fired over this. They said your behavior outside of work is not appropriate. And I'm like, oh, Linda's going to love this.
Oh, I'm totally. So okay. I don't understand what behavior you've done that's worth firing. I don't understand.
My work, my environment is very, very conservative. Like, I work in old school, like, bunch of boomers like Linda and Maureen. I'm a black sheep there, but I do a really good job. And I think that they're worried about, like, their reputation. It's all very, like, old school.
Right, but I don't think you did anything that was,
They're very conservative. Like, I don't want
to. So you think that because you listened to the show and I made fun of you, you got fired?
I mean, you did say my last name. Like I said yesterday, I got 50 friend requests. People being like, hey, it's a real thing. Nobody does know me, but you spelled it out who I am. So thanks for that.
I'm going to have to get some type of indication that this is true in order to feel bad because I can't.
I'm not asking you to feel bad. I'm just like, LOL.
Well, you're blaming me for getting you fired.
No, I'm blaming myself. I do participate and I know that that's a pot. I'm usually more worried about like my dad listening, right? Like,
yeah.
That's not fun. Wow. Or I don't want Timothy Mayer to hear certain things or whatever. I'm not worried about. I would not think these boomers would be listening to you. That blows my brain.
I don't believe that. You're jumping to a conclusion.
Are you gaslighting me right now?
I'm not. I don't think that. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that you got fired.
They said your actions yesterday were inappropriate. And it's like threatening to our reputation. And I'm like, nobody knows who the fuck I am when it comes to this company. Nobody knows. I just sit in a cubicle. Like, nobody knows who I am there. But apparently, you have a big fan there. So,
Chris writes, you flashed us countless times, and we're blaming EZ for getting fired for saying your name.
I'm not blaming EZ. I'm blaming myself for participating, knowing it's public. I know that that's a risk, but working by myself for the last 14 years, it's never really been an issue. Like, I've been 1099. You remember, I owed 30 grand in taxes.
Cole writes, I listen every day, and I still don't know your last name.
Okay, Cole's one person.
Dave says, people,
can you share the video that I sent you about all the DMs I got last night?
You want me to share a video of DMs you got?
Remember I sent you, I had like 50 Facebook requests. I was like, classic. This is exactly why I was screaming about it. And the fact, could you imagine if they spelled my last name right? how many more. Like, they're probably searching, you know, the classic way and not the weird way that my last name is spelled. That it would have been a nightmare, and that's fine. I'm not blaming Eric Zane at all. Not at all.
Kind of sounds like it.
Well, you're being sensitive, and you need to get mental health treatment.
Bob wrote, there are consequences for whipping out your mediocre tits on the internet.
I didn't give tits yesterday. They didn't see that. Like, I haven't heard anything. But what happens is,
all right,
once in a while, never
well,
mind.
I'm sorry you got fired. What are you going to do? Well, I guess you're just going to hang out for the day. But, I mean, I'm sorry you got fired.
I am taking Cash App requests for tit pics right now, currently.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. So reach out to me. Ashley Russell, Cash App.
You can't say your last name, God damn it.
It's too late. R-E-S-S-E-L-L, Cash App, Venmo. Let's start a charity.
All right. Have a good night. Have a good day.
Obviously, I have to get drunk now.
All right. Go get drunk. Okay. Bye. Bye. All right. So what does everybody think about that? I think it's bullshit. Bulls on Parade 91 says, I call complete bullshit. Tyler adds, he's so prolific of firings, people who simply know Eric are bound to get fired. Wow. Rebecca says, what did she do yesterday? I don't know. Other than making comments on here. She didn't do anything. I still felt a little blamed, though. Isn't that what you all felt, too? Did you feel like she was kind of like, it's my fault? Asshole of the Day, brought to you by, this is a sock. I got one of my socks. Brought to you by TC Paintball. Whoever she worked for is the sensitive baby, said Becky. Maybe it's because, I don't know, I talk like an asshole on here. Ryan says, asshole of the day, Ashley's employer. I don't even know where she works or worked. Was it Burger King or something? I mean, I don't even know what the fuck she did. She wrote down some company. Badger says, Eric for getting her fired. Chris says, this feels fake. She says, it's not fake. Promise on my dog's life. Yeah, but your promises don't mean anything because you said you weren't going to flash your tits anymore, and you did. I think the asshole of the day is Ashley for lying on the podcast that she just got fired. That's the only logical thing that makes sense here. I'm kidding. All right. That's it, folks. I appreciate you. I will talk to you down the road. Talk to you on the Patreon. So much fun. Thank you for being here. And bye-bye.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.